Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, we're talking with Dr. Kay Renee Blue. She is a naturopathic physician and author and a researcher. We're talking today, Dr. Kate, about curcumin or turmeric and the benefits of that. You mentioned early on that it helps with cancer. How does it fight cancer? What is the research showing?
The largest body of evidence about curcumin is its effects on cancer. It really has demonstrated, and the studies have looked at the effect of curcumin against cancer in all steps of cancer formation. Curcumin has been shown to protect against DNA damage, which is ultimately, you know, the trigger for formation of cancer cells. Very importantly, it's been shown to block something called NF-kappa B. This is a key compound linked to cancer formation. When we're under stress or when we're subject to free radical damage or infection, our body will make more NF-kappa B. And this is a big carcinogen that we produce inside our bodies. NF-kappa B is also linked to a number of other conditions like chronic viral infections, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. And this is why curcumin is implicated in those conditions. And curcumin has also been shown to support detoxification of cancer-causing compounds within the liver. It's great for liver health in general. So there really is a lot of very, very interesting evidence, a large body of evidence, about curcumin and its role as a cancer fighter.
Hmm. Now, can we take curcumin, can we just have curcumin tea, for example, or turmeric, you know, use ground-up turmeric and drink that as a tea?
Well, here's where it gets tricky, and I know that there are some people out there who are recommending that, and that would seem the more, you know, most natural way to take it. And of course, you know, we first sort of tuned into the idea that curcumin was beneficial by looking at populations that were eating lots of turmeric in their diet. However, the results that we see in the laboratory and in clinical trials, we just don't get from the levels of curcumin you can get through eating it. First of all, it's fat soluble. So if you're going to do a tea, the tea better be in the base of milk or cream or fat or coconut milk, because you need that to absorb it. Secondly, for anybody who's tried it, you'll learn very quickly that it's very messy. It stains and it gets everywhere. So it's not the most convenient way to take it. But you know, all that aside, you ultimately, it's almost impossible to get the levels of curcumin into your bloodstream through a dosing like that, even eating it through your diet. So although some of the benefits can be had certainly through ingesting turmeric or enjoying curry, most of the serious or more intense clinical benefits are seen with supplements.
What are some of the other herbs besides turmeric that you're finding interesting right now?
Kava is one that I'm delighted to say is making a comeback pretty soon. People who have heard of it or were aware of it know that this is a wonderful, traditional, natural sedative. So it's a herb that's calming and relaxing. But interestingly, and what's unique about kava is rather than making you feel kind of like you want to withdraw, it promotes sociability, which is why it was used traditionally by South Pacific Islanders as a herb that would be used, you know, socially. And it's a wonderful anti-anxiety herb. It was taken off the market several years ago due to concerns around toxicity, but those concerns were, you know, long story short, ultimately really unfounded and overblown. And so now it is being released back to the market by Health Canada, and you should be seeing that on shelves probably sometime this summer. And I'm thrilled because I used to take a lot of kava as a student, and it's an old friend. I'm happy that it's back on the shelves.
Anti-anxiety, you know, the anxiety is on the rise among, you know, the youth in Canada, North America. So this, is it safe for youth?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. The only contraindications or concerns are for people who have liver disease, Parkinson's disease, or they're already taking a drug that's heavily metabolized by the liver. But other than that, it's a very safe option.
What else are you following right now?
Oh, gosh, there's so much out there. I mean, I'm being kept pretty busy with the research on vitamin K2, which just keeps coming out. New study over the last few weeks that showed that K2 has been shown to reverse hardening of the arteries and improve arterial flexibility in postmenopausal women. And that's great because this is also a condition we kind of thought was, if not irreversible, then generally something that would progress with age. And so it's nice to know that we can reverse these kinds of things.
So vitamin K2, how does it reverse hardening of the arteries, and how much dosage were people taking in the studies?
Well, it's a fat-soluble vitamin that has been shown to move minerals around the body, and specifically it will take calcium and guide it into our bones where we want it to be and remove it from areas like soft tissues, like arteries, where we don't want it to be. And this is one of the main ways that it will restore arterial flexibility. It's also been shown to be very good for the what's called elastin. These are the elastic tissues in our blood vessels, for example, helping them work better. And so that's the main ways it's been shown to restore that arterial flexibility. And the dosages that they're using in clinical trials for bone building or artery clearing are between 180 and 360 micrograms per day. That's in an MK7 form. So Health Canada actually limits us to 120 micrograms per daily dose. So that just means you have to take, say, 2 to 3 soft gels if you want to get the types of doses they're using in the clinical trials.
What about herbs for things like diabetes? What's the research around? What are you finding about that? Because that's a huge issue for a lot of people.
It is a huge issue, and lots of research is always being done on that. There's probably two main things. There is a new one coming out, berberine. So this is extract of barberry. It contains special plant compounds that have been shown to be very helpful for lowering blood sugar. Okay. And another one that I like for diabetes is actually a curcumin. Because it helps with liver function, because it's a great antioxidant, and that's a big concern for people with diabetes, and heart disease, really it acts on so many levels that are helpful for diabetics. And I've also seen improvements in blood sugar, which I think are kind of secondary to improvements in liver health. Oh, by the way, on that note, because curcumin has been shown to be so helpful for liver function, people suggest that it would be a great hangover remedy.
Okay. Interesting. What about cinnamon? I heard the cinnamon was good for blood sugar as well. Is there much research to back that up?
Definitely, yeah, it is. Cinnamon, either sprinkling on your food or, again, hard to get the kind of doses that you would want. You look for a water-soluble extract of cinnamon, and that is one that people are able to use to manage their blood sugar.
I always like watching the Cinnamon Challenge on YouTube or something like that. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't seen that.
Where people try to eat a spoonful of cinnamon.
Oh, right. Yes, I've heard of it. I haven't watched it. I understand it's pretty intense.
Yeah, if you get a chance, go watch that, because I don't think they're trying to balance their blood sugar, but it is good for a laugh. What about herbs? You talked about herbs for the heart. What about coenzyme Q10? Is that still making waves, or is there still benefits to that?
Oh, there definitely is still benefits to that. I think that's one that is now well established as an important nutrient that we tend to need more as we get older, that certain medications like statin medications, for example, will reduce our own production. So for people taking those, they definitely need that. It's a wonderful antioxidant, and it also helps with the health of our mitochondria. These are essentially the batteries inside our cells. And all of the cells of our bodies have these batteries, but of course our heart and our brain have more because they take up more energy. And CoQ10 is an important nutrient for that.
I want to ask you about multivitamins. We're seeing really a movement to food-based multivitamins. Is there really a benefit to those?
It depends. In some instances, there are. It depends on, I guess, what's you're looking at or calling a food-based multivitamin. And this is an area where I find a lot of marketing, hype or even confusion. I definitely think that there are benefits to using, you know, food extracted or food-based nutrients where you can. That isn't available for every single nutrient that we know of and are aware of. And there are some certain situations in which standard forms of the nutrient are, in fact, more biologically available. So I like the idea of the food-based nutrients where you can combine, say, food concentrates that offer some of the benefits of whole foods, especially the ones we tend to make, you know, tend to make it to the list of superfoods, but we might not be eating every day. We can combine concentrates of that with our standard multivitamins, and that's the type of multi I take, like whole earth and sea type. I like that balance.
What about, you know, there are some research coming out in the last few years that taking too much minerals can really be bad, not only for your heart, but for your body in general. Is that still valid research?
Well, I would definitely say on terms of calcium, for sure. You know, there's been a bit of back and forth on the studies about whether or not calcium supplements are as harmful as a few of the initial trials did. And I really hope that it turns out that the answer is that they are not, because so many people have been taking so much calcium. But it would seem that the weight of the evidence is on the side of, you know, less is more when it comes to calcium. More is not necessarily better. I don't recommend a calcium supplement to all people or all women, although if you have osteopenia or osteoporosis, a small amount of calcium, you know, up to 500 milligrams in a supplement on top of what you're getting in food is okay.
Okay. What about minerals like magnesium?
Oh, now that sort of goes in the other direction. You know, magnesium, we are often deficient. Deficiency is very common. Stress depletes magnesium, and, you know, who isn't subject to stress? It's used for so many different functions and actions in the body, and it's relatively challenging to get in our diets. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because it has so many benefits, lowering blood pressure, relaxing muscles, it's really the anti-stress mineral. That is one that definitely a supplement is a good idea for most people.
Hmm. So does it help? So you mentioned it's good for stress. Does it help with anything, factors of stress? Or I heard it's good for leg cramps.
Yeah, leg cramps. It's a really, and you can take magnesium any time of the day, but I especially like recommending it at night or for people to take it before bedtime because it will help relax your muscles. You know, if leg cramps is a concern, this is definitely one thing you want to try. Vitamin K2 as well, actually. These two work together. But it lowers blood pressure, and it's just generally relaxing. So although you can take it at any time of the day, again, I really like recommending for people to take it at bedtime because many people will say they have a more relaxed, restful sleep with magnesium.
Dr. K, we're right out of time. Is there any website you'd recommend people go to for more information?
They can reach me at www.drkatend.com, or for more information, go to www.naturalfactors.com.
Dr. K, thanks so much for coming on. It's been great talking to you.
You're welcome, Dave. Take care.
Bye now. That's it for this week's show. I want to thank Rich Fair, our producer, and producers across the country that are making the show available to you. Thank you for listening. Have a great, healthy week.